Verse 41 says, "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss." Talking about the thief and the cross. Then 42, "And he say unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Again, verse 42, "And he say unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That's what it says. There's something missing there, right? The word Lord is missing. You see, the word Lord has been in our Bible for 400 years, since 1602. And then you come to 1960, and the word Lord is gone, chiseled away, no longer in our Spanish Bible. And that pretty much should explain why we venture into the revision of our Spanish Bible. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for thy goodness. And you've been good to us. And Lord, I want to thank you for bringing me here this far. And it's been good to me. My soul rejoices in the truth. And thank you, for we have a Bible, preserved forever, settled in heaven. Lord, help me to deliver what I have in my heart. Let me be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Let me just, for those of you that do not know about us, my name is Humberto Gomez, and I'm a missionary in Mexico. I've been missionary for 28 years in the country of Mexico. I've been preaching for 34 years, and I have five brothers that I had the blessing of leading them to the Lord. They all are preachers, independent fundamental Baptist preachers. My oldest son is a missionary in Mexico, and I have about 11 nephews that are preachers. So, I don't know, but preaching runs in the family. And the worst of all, you're looking at it. Amen? I have the blessing of seeing all my family saved. Everybody's in church. I don't have anybody outside the church right now, and I don't have backsliders. If there's one, you know who it is. But my wife, no. Really, God's been good to this Mexican. I was lost and undone without God. Grew up in a Catholic home. Orphan since I was 7 years of age. Lived in the streets of Mexico. And then one day, a missionary came with a Bible in his hand. Preached to me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord changed my life. And what a difference he made in my life and in the life of my whole family. I was led to the Lord by a missionary that used what is called in Spanish the Antigua Reina Valera, which is the 1909, which is pretty close to the original 1602 Reina Valera Bible. Let me give you just a brief information of why is it called Reina Valera. Some of you might not know. Reina was the first, Casidoro de Reina was the first translator that completed the whole Bible in Spanish from the text of Receptus. And then in 1602, he did a transliteration, and he knew that his work needed to be revised. And in 1602, Cipriano de Valera did the revision and finished it in 1602. That's why it's called Reina Valera. It was two Spaniards that used to be a Catholic monks that got saved, and then they worked in the translation of the Spanish Bible. About 6 years ago, after seeing some of the conflicting readings between our Spanish Bible and the King James Bible, I decided to go into deeper and do some searching and find why these discrepancies. And I say one of the two had to be wrong. One of the two had to be wrong. And so we began to study the text of Receptus, the Masoretic text, the critical text. We just looked at it, did not study it, had no time for it. But we found out that there was serious differences between our Spanish Bible and the King James Bible, and we had to come out with the truth. If our Spanish Bible was right, I would say so. And if the King James was right, I would say so. So we began to study, and let me say this, we started 6 years ago in a full-time basis working in this great task, sacred, of doing a revision in our Spanish Bible. I had no choice. I could not sit idle seeing all these great major discrepancies. I had to do something about it. And may I say to you, when we embark, I don't know if you understand the term, I hope you do, when we embark in this great task, I did not do it leaping with joy. I did it with much fear, trembling, so scared. Even until this day, I'm still scared, because this is the book of God. So afraid to make a mistake. We decided in our heart that if the English-speaking people will have a perfect Bible, why we cannot have a perfect Bible? Pure and perfect. Pure to the text and perfect in our beautiful language, the Spanish language. Our goal was to have a pure Bible in our language. And let me say this. If I fail in this task, which it will not surprise me, but if I fail and help to provide a pure and perfect Bible in Spanish, it will not be for a lack of effort. I have given my heart, my life to it, and I'm going to do the best to my ability, which is not much, but I know that I cannot limit the Holy One of Israel, and He's been helping us so far, and I know He will help us until the end. So much criticism, so much garbage thrown from one side to another, and nobody doing anything about it, and we say, we must do something about it. For 6 years now, and I'm not bragging and I'm not complaining either, working an average of 18 hours a day for 6 years, traveling thousands of miles, going to about at least 10 different countries, consulting with other preachers that stand for the purity of the Word of God. For 6 years, investing 50% of our income, our missionary monthly support, in this, neglecting my wife, my children, my ministry. We have just one purpose in mind. We wanted to provide our people with the pure Word of God. Let me give you a personal testimony. I hope you don't mind it. Just about 2 months ago, I was in my office working on my computer, and down in the porch of my house, I heard my wife laughing. She was laughing aloud. She was having a good time. And she had my granddaughter, the littlest one. She's only one. And my wife was having fun with my granddaughter, my baby Becky, and I heard they're laughing, and I said, what are they laughing about? And so I walked down and went to the porch, And I pull a rocking chair and sit by my wife, and my granddaughter just came running to me and gave me a hug. And then I found out why they were laughing. The dog, my wife would tell the dog, give her a kiss. And the dog would come and give a kiss to my grandbaby. And she didn't like it and say, stop it, stop it. She would say, and my wife was laughing, and I began to laugh. And then I stayed there for about 30 minutes, enjoying my wife, playing with my granddaughter, and the dog. And it was such a sublime time, precious time. And then it dawned on me, Dr. Williams, for the first time in 5 years, I have not spent 5 minutes sitting on the porch with my wife. So I say this, I'm not crying. I say this, I have given my heart. I have no other motives but to provide the best to our people. If I fail, so be it, but not for a lack of effort. God's been good to us so far. Dr. White asked me to share a little bit about the accomplishments or the outreach of the text of Receptus of Spanish Bible, and I will do so, but then again I will add something that God gave me about the chiseling of the word that these liberals have been doing for years and years and years. First of all, the accomplishments already obtained. Given that our complete Bible came out of the press only 6 months ago, doesn't have concordance, it's just the text, and it's not the finished product, it's the first edition of it. Having all that in mind, let me say this. Our Bible is being used already in about 14 Spanish-speaking countries. From America all the way south to Argentina, Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Peru, Colombia, Guatemala, Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Mexico, Belize. There are some churches and pastors already using our Bible. With no promotion, we have not put any money in promotion, just people finding out about our Bible. They requested, and then they embrace it. Let me say a few things about these pastors and churches. We have a church in Argentina. Brother Dan Frey. He requested our Bible. He loved it so much. And he said, Dr. Gomez, I read the article that was published in Bible for Today, the Dimbergen Society, and I like the attitude you have about the Bible issue. I see you are not attacking anybody, and I will explain a little bit later why we are not attacking anybody. And he said, can you send me a PDF of your Bible, which I did, and then he requested our Bible, and now he has had the word all over the south of Argentina telling other missionaries about our Bible. They presented a challenge to their churches saying that they will give a Bible to anybody that will get enrolled in a discipleship class, in a soul winning class, so they can start new churches. And there are some churches already been established with these people using solely our Bible. The same is being done in Peru. I have a missionary friend, Brother Shane Rice. He helped us to put our Bible in all the computer programs, eSword, online Bible, Power Bible CD, and this man, Shane Rice, has the vision that God will help him to start a printing press in Peru so that he will be the distributor and printer of our Bible. In South America. The list goes on. I say in Mexico we have about no less than 100 churches using our Bible already. We have at least 3 seminaries in Mexico using our Bible as their text. This is unbelievable. It's way far beyond I ever dreamed. I thought I had to die before I see some results of this. I was totally shocked, surprised that there was such a great demand. People wanted something different, but nobody was doing anything about it. We have in the states, there's at least 10 states of the Union represented with churches using our Bible. At least 3 seminaries in the states that use our Bible as their text. When I mention the countries of Peru, Chile, Argentina, Mexico, for that matter, Texas, Florida, states here, I'm not saying that every single church from those states or countries are using our Bible. It's only a few of them. It's only if you understand what I'm saying. It will take a while. For 6 months, some of them had our Bible only for about 2-3 months. God has blessed our work. Considering that it doesn't have a concordance, considering that it's the first edition, and I admit that there's a few mistakes in there, a few typos that have already been corrected, are corrected, and they will be printed perfectly, Lord willing, in the final edition. We have the document, the master document, already finished. We have the parallel King James and our Bible parallel already finished. We have already $30,000 for it. We need another $90,000. You got it in your package. Just give it to me, and we'll bring the Bible tomorrow. Amen? And just pray that God will provide the money. And I don't see why people would not get involved in something like this. I said it at the beginning. I said it last year. I will say it again. We don't have no financial ambitions. God's been good to us. And we stated we gave the rights to our home church for this Bible. Humberto Gomez will never get a penny out of it. Every profit will be to print more Bibles to help the printing ministries that print Bibles for free to support missions, and our church will know what they will do with that. But Humberto Gomez, God's been good to me. He pulled me out of the garbage can. I didn't have anything when he saved me, and he's done a lot to me. He don't have to do any more for me. There'll be some offers. Nobody will get to the price. Considering that this Bible has no concordance, still a few typos, and is new, practically new, considering that there's a great opposition, you won't believe it. You know where the opposition comes from? You know. You see, any Spanish-speaking preacher that will switch Bibles, I would say not all of them, and not by all of them, but most of them, will be persecuted. His character will be assassinated. Yeah. I don't have time to cry the blues. But even this morning, I opened the web page and I saw my name, and the first thing I say, well, somebody wrote something good about me. And the hood, not so. And the sad thing about it, that if any preacher makes a move, we've been called gringos pleasers, and other words, real bad from preachers. You see, they blame it in the King James Bible believers. You're the ones that cause the problem, the divisions amongst the Spanish-speaking brethren. You're the guilty ones. I have to pass the blame somebody else. But that's what they're saying. But I say to you, you see, they don't have, most of them are good men, but there are some preachers that are merciless. They can care less if they ruin your reputation, even your family, your children, your ministry. They don't care. There are so many right now willing to accept, and they know they need a better Bible, but they will not make a move, because if anybody moves, boom! Thank you, preacher, for talking about agonizing, my Lord. You see, people will assassinate you, your ministry, and yet at the end, they will accuse you of being an attacker and a divider. You're the one. The innocent. There are some sincere people that they're just waiting for the right time. There are some that told me, have said to me, Brother Humberto, just be patient. We're going to do it. Just be patient. And I'm trying to be patient. By the way, I'm running out of patience. And why we cannot take a stand in the Word of God? Let me say this. There's 1 billion Spanish-speaking people in the world. Do you hear what I say? 1 billion. The Spanish-speaking people is now the number one minority in the States. Like it or not. If we don't reach our people, America is in a mess. Talking about the reach of our Bible, the head chaplain of the state prisons in Texas just requested Victory Baptist Press with 10,000 New Testaments, and they say that they need at least 2,000 a month and the same amount of Bibles, and they want our versions. I have received letters from prisons from California all the way to Florida. Last month, I received a letter that you can tell the paper, you can see the tears in the paper. This man is in death row in Florida. And he just writes to thank me for writing a book, he said, personally for me. He said, this book speaks to me directly. Dr. Gomez, thank you for writing a Bible for the Spanish-speaking brethren. And you will be surprised how educated that man is in the text of Receptus. More than many preachers I know. Of course, he's got all the time in his hands. I'll get back on the text in a minute. We stand for the purity of the text in our language and in every language. I know you know this, but I must say it. Every single language has the same problem. The Bible problem is not only for the English-speaking people, but for every single language in the world. I say, the devil done a good job doing away, chiseling away the eternal truths of God. But I'm glad that God promised to preserve His Word forever and ever. Let me get back to the text, to the chiseling of the Word, and why. And that's the reason why we got involved in this revision. The Bible Translators Institute of Bowie, Texas, Dr. Rex Cobb, their president, did a study, a Bible chart, a Bible comparison of the 8 major translations in the Spanish Bible. And amongst the 8 Bible translations, they gave us the honor to put our Bible there amongst the 8 greater Spanish translations. They found that in 1602, the original Reina Valera Bible, they found 47 discrepancies, most of them minor discrepancies. By 1909, they found 122 discrepancies. And by 1960, they found 191 discrepancies. Just chiseling away. One, you see, I suppose that a revision is to do better. But it's to make it worse. It's to make it worse. It's to make it worse. In the 1602 Bible, the word hell was written more than 50 times. By 1960, only 13 times. Now, just chisel away. Water it down. Totally erased, completely erased from the Old Testament. No hell in the Old Testament. And merely 13 times in the New Testament. I don't know about you, but let me say this. Nobody, I don't care who says, they can call me heretic if they want to, but nobody can force me to preach a Bible that will say, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will not admit it. I will not preach out of it. The Bible says the gates of hell. But you see, they do away, chisel it away. They could have totally, completely erased it. Why didn't they? Just slowly. Wait until the next revision. Wait until the next revision. You see, when they replaced with the word Sheol in Hades, it became so close to purgatory. They made it so close to purgatory. Now, you see the footnotes in the Bible. Now, there you will find out there that even the believers, when they die, they go to Hades. I don't know if you're going to go to Hades. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I mean, it is unbelievable. Unbelievable. And let me say this. Most people, most Spanish brethren, let me say this. They are not ignorant. If there's one, you're looking at him. But let me tell you this. The Spanish-speaking brethren are very smart. There's only one problem with them. Nobody, there's no seminary in Mexico that I know, or Argentina, that teaches the difference between a text receptus and critical text. A missionary told me this with tears. He said, Dr. Gomez, and this was his expression, he was a missionary in South America and in Mexico for 4 years. He said, Dr. Gomez, somehow when we began doing the work as missionaries, we dropped the ball. We did not teach the Spanish brethren the whole counsel of God. We made a mistake. a long time ago. I'll say this again. That's why we're not in attacking or trying to insult people. And I say this again. Most I know brilliant Mexicans. I know you have a hard time believing that by listening to me, but there are some brilliant Mexicans, good, eloquent men, well-educated, but they never had access to the text of receptors, and honestly, they don't know any better. And then you come to also fear, peer pressure. And some of them are really sincere. They just don't want to be the cause of the split amongst the Spanish-speaking brethren. And I say from the bottom of my heart, God forbid, we have no intentions in splitting nobody. But if the truth does, so be it. We must present the truth as it is. Let me go. I guess I gave a report of what God is doing, and please pray for us. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I really believe in my heart that we need to print our Bible in the next 2 months, the final edition. We already have the concordance finished. We have the parallel King James and our Reina Valera Gomez Bible already finished, ready to be taken to the press, and just we need God to supply the money. And I know He will do it. Just help us to pray. Let me get back to thee. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, how in the world they will chisel out that word, Lord? How can it be? Is it too damaging? Is it too bad? Is it too ugly? Let me say this. It was there since 1602. To my amazement. But 2 months ago, I was preaching a meeting, and the pastor asked me to stay in the home of a dear lady. She's about 70 years old. They just got saved and in his church. And so they had a prophet chamber besides her house, so I stayed there. And then when she asked me to come and have a cup of coffee, I saw a huge Bible. It was the Catholic Bible. And just by curiosity, I opened it to Luke 23:42. And to my amazement and surprise, the word Lord was in that Bible. How can it be that we, fundamental independent Baptists, will tolerate something like this? Even the Catholics have the word Lord in there. But you see, let me say, one of the main purposes of chiseling away the truth, one of the first things the liberals want to chisel away is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fight is against the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. It's not against us. As a matter of fact, it's not against the church. It's against Christ. It's against Christ. Revelation 1:6. Open it, please. Revelation 1:6. Let me preach a couple of minutes here. I love this passage. Revelation 1:6. The chiseling away of the person and the deity of Christ. Revelation 1:6. And have made us kings and priests, hallelujah, unto God, and what? And His Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. When it says unto God, who is talking about? It says, priest unto God and His Father. Who is God here? The Lord Jesus. But you know what the Spanish Bible said? They do away with the word M and replaced it with a comma and said, and he had made us king and priests unto God, comma, the Father. So Jesus is not God. Now they would say, you're wrong. Our Bible speaks about the deity of Christ. Yes, it does. It does. But then why in the world would they erase this? Why? Just chisel it away. You see, I'm not an expert in Greek by no means, and I guess you can tell. But here, if you look at the word M, Kai, or I don't know how you pronounce it in English, Kio, Theos, Kio, Hitopater, which means God and His Father. He's talking about God being Jesus Christ. He is God. I say, He is God. Acts 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which He has purchased with His own blood. That's what it says. Oh, the church of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. Now, when you say the Lord, when you say you're talking about Jesus, yeah, but it makes a difference. When you say that plainly, clearly, He is God. I say, it was the blood of God that bought my salvation. It was not the blood of a human being. It was not the blood of Mary. It was the blood, spotless blood of God that purchased my salvation and my redemption. Jesus is God. He's God, and He bought me with divine blood. Does it make a difference? It makes a difference. I'm glad that it was the blood of God. The blood of God bought my salvation, cleaned my soul, purchased me. It is the blood of God. You see, chiseling away the deity of Christ. Daniel 3:25, I don't have to explain much. We have great scholars here that can explain it better than me, but Daniel 3:25. And this was the first verse that was called to my attention when I got interested in looking in the Masoretic text and the text of Receptus. You know the text. Can I ask you something? Is it the same problem with the NIV? Believe me, I witness before the Lord, Dr. Williams, I have never had in my hands an NIV Bible. I have never read it. I don't even know yet if I have seen it. Does these verses say the same way in the NIV? Exactly. It's a parallel. It's a parallel. It must come from the same text. I say this again. I have never studied one. I never seen one. But Daniel 3:25, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no heart. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And of course, our Spanish Bibles read the Son with small s, and then plural with small g, gods. You see, the word Hillel is an Aramaic written 95 times in the Bible. Found only in two books of the Bible, Ezra and Daniel. And every time that speaks plural refers to false gods. And when it's singular, with a small g, refers to a false god. And every time, it's the same word, we don't have to lie about it, it's the same word, but the interpretation is this, when it refers to God Almighty, good, thank you. When it refers to God Almighty, always, it's with a capital G, or in the Spanish case, with a capital D. This is the only time that it refers to God with a small g and in plural. The only time. So, it has to be a mistake there. It has to be a mistake. So, but the whole idea is doing away, chiseling away the deity of Christ. I can go on. Just let me briefly say this. This is why I find this here. John 6:25. Jesus said, my Father. Chisel away. The Spanish says, the Father. Not my Father, the Father. Go to 8:28. He says, my Father. But chisel away, he says, the Father. Jesus saying, the Father. You go to 8:38, the Father instead of my Father. 14:12 says, my Father, but they chisel away my and put the Father. Chiseling away the deity of Christ. And he goes on and on and on. So we're going to learn a battle, and we're not going to give up. We're not going to insult nobody. We just want to tell it like it is. This is the truth. And pray for us as we continue working. And I know, with the help of God, we will have a finished product for the perfect Bible in Spanish.